from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what are we listening to?
It is Shop Around by Smokey and the Miracles. My annual Consumer's Guide to the Grizzlies Home Schedule, published, I guess, yesterday sometime. So if you're looking to shop around for tickets this season, trying to decide games to go to, that is the conceit I toy with every year around this time.
If you took out media, everything, and dates, whatnot, you personally, I give you 2 tickets, you can go see any game. What's the game that you think that you'd end up picking?
So a couple jump out to me. I mean, obviously you have the national TV games, the opening night and all that, and that's a given. But a couple games that don't fit into those categories. The Knicks only come to town once, and that's on a Friday night. And I think that's a really interesting team. That's a good game. That's going to be sort of a buzzy kind of game. I think that's a really good one. And then the first Oklahoma City game, I think, is on a Saturday night. And I'm just really hoping we get, like, an intense Oklahoma City-Memphis battling, you know, in the upper rungs of the conference. Like, that's a rivalry we need to reconstitute itself, I think, is Grizzlies Thunder.
Would you rather see that one reconstituted more so than the Spurs?
Yeah, well, the Spurs is good because of Wimby, right? Not knowing you have, like, jaw-hunting Wimby, and we saw what a spectacle that was last season. But you have, I mean, especially the first time we see it, the first time they play will be in San Antonio, but the first time it's in Memphis, to see Zach Edey and Wimby, like, there aren't many 7'4 guys on the planet, right? And they're both playing against each other, but they're both totally different, even though they're both 7'4". So I think the first time the Spurs come to town is really, really interesting, too. But in terms of meaning, I just like, you know, I like that Thunder game.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because part of the Edey intrigue is, okay, if the two teams that everyone is watching in the future are the Thunder and the Spurs, like, Edey makes that matchup way more interesting to me.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of, you know, this hope that the Grizzlies just had a gap year and they're going to be right back in the mix long term. You know, you've got Ja, Jaren, Dez, and these are guys who are still young but sort of just now entering their prime. I mean, the real key for the Grizzlies to boost it and to be there with teams like the Thunder and the Spurs over the course of, like, the next 7-8 years is that second wave of guys. It's Zach Edey, it's Gigi Jackson, it's Vince Williams Jr. I think those three in particular. Are those guys going to be, you know, third, fourth, fifth best guys, or fourth, fifth, sixth best guys on a contending team good. And like that's an extra layer of intrigue, you know, to this season. And Edie, you know, G.G. Jackson might end up being the best of the three. We'll see. But Edie's the one most likely to be in the starting lineup this season. So he's particularly important for the team.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of the other thing that Jeff and I were talking about. If you go back and you look at the 2019 draft, like, you can make the argument that the significant moment is the day that the Grizzlies wind up with two in that draft lottery. Because if they just stay put, or even if they fall, you know, a little bit behind, you know, fall spot behind this year, I mean, we're just talking about an entirely different thing. And it does, like, go to show, as much as fans and media types can get onto roster building and construction, you do need some luck along the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, Zion's really good when he plays, and he played like something like 70 games last season. But it's reached the point now where, you know, there's sort of the doubts about him from a health standpoint and off-court standpoint. But as good as he is when he plays, he's not as good as he was going to be, just because he's lost that extra level of sort of nuclear athleticism. And I think what we're finding out about Zion is that even the best current version of Zion, because it's just a slight step back from what you thought it was going to be, he's kind of a hard guy to build a winner around. You know, he's basically like a 6'6 power forward. And you got to make so many allowances around him, and it's sort of hard to put the right team around him. And yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies, I think, got the better player in that draft than John Morant, but they also got the player, I think, you know, it was easier to build a good team with.
Yeah, but doesn't that more or less speak to the difference between, like, a point guard and, you know, some, like, a kind of like a tweener, I guess, right? I mean, Zion's like an elite tweener, but, I mean, you know what I mean?
But he's not a super elite. And I actually think positionally, in some ways, if Zion was everything he could be, that would be better than having the small point guard. But he's not that. He's not LeBron. He's not Durant. He's not, you know, he's a step below that. And, you know, and there's so little he can do defensively. And I just think it's a hard, you know, he's a good player to have when he's healthy, but it's sort of a hard guy to build a team around. And if you take that alternate path, it's, you know, Jaren was already in place. And in some ways, Jaren and Zion, I think, is a pretty good fit. But it feels like even with those two, you're in need of someone else to be your main guy, right? It's sort of hard to see the path ahead with that in terms of your main guy on the ball.
Yeah, to be clear, I'm saying like elite tweener. I was saying as a draft prospect, he was, to me, an elite tweener. But I think you're 100% right, because in the end, Ja doesn't really need someone to create offense for him. Even though Zion can get his own shot, he's still dependent on someone getting him the ball.
Yeah, for the most part. And so yeah, I'm not sure how we got to that from where we started, but yeah.
I think it starts with, you know, going down the list of, well, it really started with Jeff and I talking about the column and the games and going to that 2019 draft. It's just like, oh my God, the Grizzlies got lucky. Like, in so, so many ways. I think the thing that's going to be interesting this year is, and I know you might have touched on it a little bit yesterday, I think the NBA is in this interesting spot where you're at late stage LeBron, later stage Steph, maybe not in time Steph, but, like, you know, back nine Steph. And then whatever we are with Durant. But it also feels like the NBA is probably going to milk those guys for all they're worth. Like, do you get that same vibe that the league is still going to kind of build the attention around them?
Yeah, but you can't control where they're going to be come playoff time. That's the thing. You can put them all together on the Olympic team, and you can, you know, put them on national TV in the regular season, but you can't control whether those guys are playing come second round of the playoffs and beyond. And I think those teams are not, I mean, anything can happen, you know, especially I think the Suns in particular have probably a little bit higher upside if they're healthy. But not a lot of people are going to have those teams as, like, you know, deep in the playoff kind of teams. And so I do think, I mean, this was a story of NBA last season. I think it will become more of one, this search for who are the next generation of stars that people are going to gravitate to. And in particular, if it matters, and I think it does, who are the next generation of American stars? Because the best players in the league are Luka and Jokic and Giannis, and the guy who clearly has next is Wemby, and like it's this real opening for like someone to be, you know, the guy among American players. And we thought that was going to be Ja a couple years ago. Anthony Edwards has dislodged him from that role. But I think Ja is still in that mix. And none of them are like a sure thing to be like a true star. They're guys people want to be big stars. But I don't know if either of them is quite there yet.
Who's the best American player right now?
It might still be LeBron.
That's the whole point. Like I'm sitting there going, like, if it's just now. Granted, I don't know if I want to bet on them having to do it, you know, for the course of 82 game season and then a playoff run.
Right. In any given night, it's probably still those guys. Curry maybe is the best answer to this, really. But I think, you know, over the course of 82, I mean, Jason Tatum sort of quote unquote has the belt right now. But I think Edwards and Morant both are just greater magnitudes of pure talent, honestly, than Tatum. And so I would look at those guys. And after that, you know, it's really hard to say. I mean, Chet Holmgren, I think, is going to be really, really good. But it's hard to put him in the same kind of class. Maybe Reed Sheppard is going to be like Steve Nash plus Steph Curry, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem that I really struggle with Tatum, I don't know how much wrestling you're watching like in the late 90s, but Tatum to me has always just struck me as Triple H, where almost everything, like whether you do mic skills, ring skills, like he's like a B+ at just about everything. But I can't get to the point where I'm like, that dude is the best American. Yeah, like, and maybe that's a me problem, but I don't know why I struggle like that, but I do.
I am just wrestling literate enough to pick up what you're putting down and carry the ball with it. But yeah, like Edwards and Ja have more like, you know, Rock Steve Austin potential.
Correct,
right?
100%. Like he's still a Hall of Famer. He's still like an all-time great. But it's like there's a difference.
Yeah, they're more pop the crowd type.
Yes,
a little bit. And so, yeah, no, I think that's right. I think Edwards is a guy you win with if you have a good enough team around him. But he is not the guy who the energy gravitates towards. And I think Anthony Edwards and Ja Morant, I think the league wants those two guys to be those guys. They're capable of being those guys. They've both done it in spurts, but neither has fully put it together yet and fully broken through, I don't think. And that, I mean, this season could be really interesting in that respect. Because, I think Jokic, Luka, Giannis are the best players. Jokic has won three of the last four MVPs. Like, that's probably not happening again. Giannis, I think he's sort of past that point. I think the older generation we talk about with Durant, LeBron, and Curry is sort of past that point. Embiid's not going to play enough games. Luka is going to be everyone's favorite to be, like, the MVP of the league this year. And if Dallas is the top two team in the West, he probably will be. But there's an opening there for someone to just crash all the way through. It could be Anthony Edwards. It could be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It could be Ja Morant. If Ja Morant plays 70 games, averages a 27-6-8, and the Grizzlies are a top two seed in the West, you know, all bets are off. He could be MVP of the league. You know, he could also, like, get hurt and play 50 games and, like, you know, and people think, well, that was fun and it's just not going to happen. Like, it's really a wide variance of what could happen with Ja this year.
I mean, he has the 10th best odds. That's not nothing. You know what I mean?
He finished 7th in the MVP vote like 2 years ago.
Yeah, like it's not insane. The only problem
there's a path for somebody just leap up this year if they have a good enough individual season and their team is good enough. Like my sleeper pick last year was Devin Booker to have that kind of season. That did not happen. But that's the same kind of thing. Like if somebody can jump up and average like 28, some version of like a 28-5-5 season. Play 70-plus games, and their team is the top two in either conference, somebody could jump up and just be the MVP of this league who has never done it before, and we don't really totally see it coming.
I mean, honestly, if I'm looking at it and explaining, like, as a financial decision, the only hang-up I have on it for value is I'm just not convinced Ja's going to play, because I think the first part of your statement is if he plays 70 games or close to.
Yeah.
That's a big if.
You probably got to play 65 to be eligible, but I think realistically, if you're not clearly like best player in the league, and it's more like you're just having the best season. Part of having the best season is you gotta hit that 70 mark, I think, on the game play.
I totally agree, and that's kind of the other thing I was thinking about the other day. Are we maybe overlooking the fact that he's coming back from injury?
Maybe. We haven't seen him. We've seen some clips on social media, whatever, but we haven't really seen him. I think it'll be interesting to see him first preseason game or whatever. It's a shoulder thing. And so in some ways, it's not the kind of lower body stuff I think you're most concerned about. But, it's not like, some wrist or whatever. I mean, it's a pretty serious injury. And so we'll see. I feel good about it, but to your point, like there is some degree of unknown there.
Well, like I was trying to think, didn't Paul George have this, right?
Paul George has had everything.
Yeah, that's more than fair. I was trying to remember all the guys that have had, I just feel like when I was doing it off the top of my head, it's like, having shoulder surgery isn't just kind of like you just bounce back. I don't know, and I was trying to think of whether or not I was being, whether or not I was actually being fair.
It's been a long time though. I mean, he had it in January, and so I feel like it's not the kind of thing where he's just going to be cleared, or it's even going to carry into the season in terms of being cleared for full contact. And so I think the gap there is pretty good. I have not. This is something I need to investigate more in the next month. It's a good question. My sense right now is that it's not much of a concern, but that definitely warrants further investigation.
Yeah, so this is according to InStreetClothes.com, checks out. The success rate for labor repairs in the NBA is high, with surgery reducing the likelihood of subsequent instability. Current NBA players to return to action and play at a high level after having a labrum injury include Paul George, Pascal Siakam, Jalen Brunson, and Kobe White. According to InStreetClothes.com's database, the average time loss following the surgery is roughly 156 days. That's not applicable. I don't know.
All of those guys have come back and been as good or better than they were before.
And maybe it'll help with some shooting form.
It could be.
What if the labrum surgery for shooting is like Tommy John for pitching, where you come back and you throw 7 miles an hour harder?
Yeah, we can hope. We can hope on that. Hey, I mean, shooting is a thing that can get better over time. So we have not abandoned hope on John Morant's shooting.
We've not abandoned hope. We're also not counting on it. I think the other things that were interesting to me, you have the Knicks ahead of the Celtics. Is that simply just because it's the Celtics are running it back and the Knicks are newer? How did you break that down?
So I can't remember. The Knicks is a Friday night. I can't remember what night of the week the Celtics was. That may have had something to do with it. But I also just think the Knicks are more interesting. As good as the Celtics are, that's been a hard team for the Grizzlies to play against. So they've had some rough games against the Celtics, and that tends to be less fun.
When Jeff was asking me to predict why you thought that, my first answer was, the Celtics kind of own them.
Yeah, and so, it sounds good in theory, but then when you're at the game and you're getting bullied and pushed around,
not a lot of fun.
It becomes less fun, so that's part of it. I think the Knicks are a fresher kind of thing, and I think somewhat a more interesting matchup, and a matchup that is not, it seems like a little bit better matchup maybe for the Grizzlies. So, and it's certainly a newer thing. The Knicks are newer to being good, and now they've shaken up their team with Mikal Bridges. And I just, if you tell me they're playing the Knicks and the Celtics back to back this weekend, I can only go to one game, I'm going to the Knicks game.
So the other point, you are correct. The Celtics game was also a Monday.
Yeah, and that's part of it too. Typically, when I do this, a Friday and Saturday nights are worth an extra half star. That's sort of a general rule of thumb I have.
What?
It's just a lot easier. For most people, it's easier to go to Friday and Saturday games. You're not having to get up the next morning and go to work. And, if it's a Saturday game, you're not, having to get off work and get ready to go. And, I just think Friday, Saturday games tend to have more of a big game kind of feel to them. It's a bit easier to manage.
What did you give our you and I's underrated game of the year, the Black Friday game?
That was New Orleans, I believe,
yeah,
right?
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at New Orleans 3.5. Yeah,
Yeah, New Orleans is the matchup luster is worn off of that one. We kept wanting it to be a thing, and it's not really a thing. So that may have been a 4-star game if I was more interested in the opponent. Opponent's pretty good, and I do love the Friday after Thanksgiving. Now it is a day game; it's like a 2:30 tip. I would actually rather it be a night game.
I agree.
On the day after Thanksgiving, so that's also part of it.
Well, that's kind of the other thing is I'm noticing on the NBA schedule. So Mark sent me a story. Part of the MLK game being at 1:30 is the fact that there's the national championship football game that night, and we've already seen like a lot of deference to the NFL taken. Like, it is interesting to me to see kind of the NBA now just kind of sidestep and be like, because I felt like forever they're just like, all right, we're scheduling our games and we're scheduling our games. It feels like now that they are being like more aware of the greater sports landscape.
Yeah, which me personally, I would rather they not do that, but I am not, you know, I acknowledge that, you know, the general sports fan who's interested in multiple things tends to gravitate more towards football. That is reality. It's not really my reality, so I would rather they just do their games and I'm going to watch their games. But, you know, it's a long season, and so whatever they need to do to boost the most interest over the course of, you know, 5 months or whatever it is, and 82 games, like, you know, do what you need to do.
I know you don't care a ton about, like, the whole TV whatnot, but I was curious about this. Do you notice when if you're watching, like, let's say a playoff game, do you notice whether or not you're watching a TNT broadcast versus an ESPN/ABC broadcast?
I don't, other than like the pregame, postgame, halftime shows
and graphics.
Like during the broadcast itself and the in-game stuff, I don't really notice it. Like, I know that there are announcers I like, and I have to stop and think about who they work for. You know, like, I love listening.
Sure.
I love hearing Hubie Brown's voice, and I love Kevin Harlan's voice, and I like Doris Burke. But for the most part, I don't. And sometimes I just tend to tune out the announcers anyway. So I don't notice a lot of difference in game presentation. I notice difference in the studio shows.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the differentiation. The one thing I will say is I think TNT does a better job with audio, like in okay. arena audio. It always feels hotter to me. I think they present it a little brighter. I think maybe the appropriate term, but like it's you're kind of in the weeds. But I was curious about that. Let's see. Oh yeah, one other thing I want to discuss with you. Do you have an explanation for the Suns and what happened last year?
Well, I mean, I think a few things. One, that team is just not deep. There are a lot of teams like that now with the way the cap works. If you're going to pay $100 million or whatever to two players, like, it's going to be hard to have a deep roster. They're not that deep, but then their star players are not that durable. And the other thing with them is that I think they made a big mistake in the Bradley Beal trade, because Beal, of all the players in the league, and maybe now it's not even true because it's known that he's not that good anymore, but like the gap between his reputation and his reality and between his contract and his reality was one of the biggest in the league. And like to put that many resources into that guy who basically duplicates what you already have in Booker and Durant instead of using those resources for like two or three good defensive role player types, I think was an enormous team building mistake by them. I think they really messed up on the Bradley Beal thing. And the rest of that team is just not very good. And it's one thing if you're going to get 70-plus games both from Durant and Booker. I think that can paper over a lot. But it's just, you know, the team is not that good other than those two guys. That's just the reality of it.
It was nice. I felt like I was on this island of whenever anyone would mention Bradley Beal, like, I'm not convinced the guy's a winning basketball player. Like, and I respected him. Like, the fact that, like, he didn't really want to move and he was making money, it's like, yeah, no, like, I can admire that. But this idea that, like, he was going to solve some of the Grizzlies' issues, like, it used to just drive me insane.
He's a 6'3 shooting guard who's not great on ball, is not great on defense, and is hurt all the time.
Correct.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's in some ways it's not dissimilar. I mean, players like that, once they lose like half a step, lose their value in a hurry. Look at Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
It was similar. He's more of an athlete than Beal, but same kind of thing. He's essentially a one-way, one-position scoring guard, and you've got to be super, super great to be that kind of player and really be worth a max level kind of contract. And once you fall off a little bit,
yeah,
like you suddenly become a guy people just don't even want, you know?
Chris, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington, again, the consumer's guide.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.